Hi, this is Meds from Waffle On Podcast and The Martians Are Here, and you are listening to the awesome Tales from the Mouse House podcast with Al and Joyce.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land.
Welcome to Tales from the Mouse House Disneyland Podcast, episode 89.
For March 23rd, 2014.
How you guys doing? Remember us?
I think they do remember us.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
What's that?
We decided to do another freestyling episode. You know why?
Because we got lots of positive feedback.
Can you believe that? Well, I mean, I guess I can believe it, sort of, because, you know, they like listening to you talk, but holy cow.
They like listening to us talk.
Well, all right, maybe. But it's like, here, let me turn this up just a little bit. There you go. Can you hear that okay?
Uh-huh.
How about you guys? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, yeah, everybody, we got a lot of very positive feedback on the freestyling episode, and we really do appreciate it. We're happy that you guys are happy, and you know, if you're happy, we're happy, and if we're happy, you're happy, right?
That's right.
Is that how it goes?
If it wasn't for them, then, you know, like you say, we'd just be talking to ourselves.
Yeah, two geeks talking into microphones.
Yeah, but hey, I do have to say one thing.
What's that?
And I think that you know this, but just in case you don't, do you want to know what today is?
Today is Sunday.
Yes, but it's something other than Sunday.
I know it is, but go ahead.
It's National Corn Dog Day.
I know. Happy Corn Dog Day, everybody. You know what?
What's that?
Corn dogs. Oh, I love corn dogs.
What would be a show if we didn't talk about corn dogs?
I know.
Right?
It would be lost. Get it? Hey, talking about the freestyling episode again, we'd really love to hear from you guys. We want to have you guys send us topics, you know, topic questions for future freestyling episodes. You know, things that you'd like to hear or know. You just something that to help us out. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, it's officially getting hot again, and I don't mean, you know, oh boy, I better take this second sweater off hot. I mean, it's getting hot. All this week, it's going to be close to 90. And with that, the worst allergy season that I can ever remember. Even I'm getting hammered by it.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that you say that because...
Funny. Funny. Oh, bleh.
Because I was thinking that the weather had been beautiful this past week.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
You're being sarcastic, I trust.
No, I'm not. I'm being serious. I think it's been beautiful. And yeah, allergies are really, really bad. I think I've probably had my worst allergy season in probably 10 years this year. But I've really been enjoying the outdoors.
Well, I'm glad somebody is. I mean, it's okay. I don't mind it. I just... When the allergies are this bad that they're affecting me, then it's a problem. It's bad because, you know, when my allergies bother me, that means my voice gets scratchy, my vocal cords get dry, and no matter what I do, humidifier, I'm doing all kinds of things. I can't keep my voice from sounding like this. And it's kind of hard to narrate a cowboy book. Excuse me. Don't shoot me, please. You know, I mean, it just sounds horrible.
Yes, but you do have to admit that. Now we have a really nice community park and we go as often as we can. Weekends are usually pretty busy, but Friday we went after work and
yesterday.
And then we went again yesterday. So yesterday, well, it was kind of like I guess baseball themed both Friday and Saturday, because our park has four baseball fields.
I think there's four baseball fields there, yeah.
Yeah, and they're usually locked unless there's a game that's going to be going on soon. But one of them was unlocked, and we were walking Kate, and we walked past it, and I saw that that the dugout area was unlocked, and I told Al, if the gates were opened, I would go run the bases.
And I found an open gate.
We found an open gate. So I took my flip-flops off and ran the bases.
Yes, you ran all the bases. Now, I videoed that with my iPhone. So
but you can't share.
But if anybody wants to see it, send me a couple of dollars, you know, from my legal fund, because she'll divorce me.
I won't divorce you, but...
No, but you'll break something.
We'll never do the podcast again. Never.
Right. Moving right along. We're really enjoying the Once Upon a Time show, aren't we? TV series. This season, is this a new season or just like the back half of last? I don't know.
I don't know.
Confused anymore with the way they do seasons. But since it started again a couple weeks ago, Once Upon a Time has been really, really fun. They brought the Wicked Witch of the West in. So we got that whole Wizard of Oz theme going. But I'm really enjoying it.
Sorry.
Yeah, see? Allergies. Yeah, beautiful weather, huh? Beautiful weather.
Well, we did sit outside most of the afternoon at Starbucks.
At Starbucks waiting for Kate, because Kate was at the beauty parlor.
Yes.
But anyway, if you guys are fans of Once Upon a Time, why don't you head on over to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Good friend Jeff hosts that show, and... I'll play his promo later on, so you'll get some details. But yeah, it's a great podcast if you want to listen to that. What else is going on? Oh, we saw a few movies, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah. Now Joyce and I, we do movie reviews. You know, we review movies and things for this. I guess it's a PR firm. But we got some big ones that we were really happy to get recently. Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes.
Which I, oh my gosh, when the UPS delivery person dropped that off at the door, I must have acted like it was Christmas morning, you know, and I'm 5 years old getting the, you know, G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, because, man, I love that movie, Saving Mr. Banks. But
We also have
the
Doc
Jungle
McStuffins.
Book.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Doc McStuffins. The
Mobile
Jungle
Clinic.
Book 2. Oh, yeah, Doc McStuffins, Mobile Clinic.
I like Doc McStuffin.
Yeah, so Joyce will be writing that review. Mm-hmm. Jungle Book 2.
Yes.
We haven't watched that yet. And Joyce will be writing the review on that as well. I wrote Frozen. It's already up on the Tales blog site if you want to read that. And I'll be writing Saving Mr. Banks probably tomorrow and putting that up. But we also got one that was kind of a non-Disney movie that... they sent us, and we watched it yesterday, and I'll be writing the review on that. And it's Vince Vaughn's latest movie, Delivery Man.
Nah, that was a good movie.
It was a cute
I
movie. Definitely
it.
Not a definitely not a Disney movie.
No.
But and kind of predictable. And I won't get into it here, so you'll have to read the review. But it was a cute movie. I enjoyed it. Yeah. So what else is going on in your world?
Well... little Isaiah. I can't call him baby Isaiah anymore, even though he'll always be
Oh, you can call him baby Isaiah for as long as you want.
That's right. But he got his first and hopefully last set of stitches. So he fell at daycare and he had this big gash in his lip.
Yeah.
So he got stitches. But he did have his stitches out a couple days ago. But Eric told me that... Now, Isaiah's a little... he's just full of drama. He gets so upset over the smallest little things. Like, if they tell him to put the cap back on the marker, he'll cry and he'll just throw a fit.
Maybe he's going to be an actor.
Maybe. But when he got his, when his lip was cut, they were taking him to the emergency room. Now, my daughter-in-law works at the daycare, but she's not in his room. So she was able to leave and take him to the emergency room. And Eric told me that he was just sitting in the back seat watching the Mickey Mouse Club, not crying, nothing. Yeah. And he was just a big boy when he got his stitches. Yeah. So
big boy.
Yep.
Good kid. Good kid.
He is. He's a cutie.
Hey, good news.
What's that?
The our new website is just about ready for launching.
I know. I'm excited.
Everybody's like, yeah, right. We've been hearing this for 2 years now, Mr. Kessel. Come on now. Be serious. But I am serious. One of the biggest obstacles I had was, bringing over all of our podcasts. Now, here's something that I wasn't quite aware of about our podcasts until now. But even though this is podcast number 89, it's not really only 89 podcasts. This makes 124 episodes of Tales from the Mouse House. Now, the reason for the difference, I mean, if you guys listened to us for a while, then you kind of know this, but if you haven't, the reason for the discrepancy in the naming convention, the numbers, is that when we first started out, we got kind of overambitious, and every different style of episode we did, we gave it its own numbering system. So the shorter podcasts that we used to do, I don't think we do them anymore, we called Minnie Mouse Casts, and those had separate numbers. Video podcasts had their own separate numbers. And then we actually did a Mickey Mouse Cast once or twice. That was like a video version of a Minnie Mouse Cast. Man, we just got really weird, didn't we?
Yeah, so if you're ever thinking about doing a podcast, take our advice and don't number them like that.
Yeah, number them one all the way through, no matter what kind it is. So technically we have 100, this will be 124, but we decided not to confuse people and jump from like, jump from 50 to all of a sudden we have 80 or something like that. So we decided to just, take it from there. But anyway, that was the biggest challenge, was moving all 123 previous episodes into one place where I can upload them to the WordPress site. Well, I have this really good friend. He's a voiceover guy. He's a writer. He does all kinds of good things. His name is Stephen Cohan, Cohen. Yeah, he's a good friend, right?
He's not gonna help you anymore.
I know, Stephen. That's what I call him, Stephen J. Anyway, he's a computer guru. He helped me. He did some kind of magic. Found all of, just went to our old website, found all of the episode files, and he put them all in one location for me. And then I FTP'd them over to WordPress, and now they're all there. I just have to plug the episode files into the posts. And then for the fun part, I need to actually move the subdomain to replace the old iWebsite. Now that's going to be the fun part. I'm a little sketchy on that. I'm not entirely sure how to do it. I have some directions, some instructions from Dreamhost, so hopefully I can do this without breaking the podcast again like I did a few years ago. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
So we'll just have everybody sprinkle some little pixie dust and then we'll just be good to go.
Yeah, we need a lot of pixie dust, people. Lots of pixie dust, yeah. Well, we're going to launch our new contest that we kind of teased in the last episode for the new Disney Hyperion children's book, Big Rig. Boy, that's tough to say. Big Rig. It's a very cute children's picture book, kind of like the Cars Land, Cars World, that type thing. Donated by our very good friend Dean Carrington. Thank you, Dean.
Yes, thank you, Dean.
We'll give you the trivia question here in a little bit, but yeah. And then, shall we tell them about the other contest we're going to do as well?
Yes.
Guess what?
What's that?
We're going to do, like, probably on our next episode, we're going to launch another very, very special contest for your very own copy of Frozen on Blu-ray. Ooh.
Yay.
Yeah, that'll be good.
It will be.
Yeah. So what else?
Well, you successfully got me hooked on the TV show The Following.
The Following, yeah. Well, it's not like I did it on purpose. I'm hooked on it now, too.
I know. So we're still on season one.
Well, that's all there is. I don't think...
I thought season two was on mainstream.
Maybe.
So we're watching it on Netflix.
Yeah. So I actually think season two is on Fox, so...
Yeah, hopefully they won't cancel
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah,
I like
it's
Kevin
a good
Bacon.
Show. Yeah.
Didn't you tell me today that...
No, not... This year is the 30th anniversary of Footloose.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago.
Wow.
I was like one, negative one. All right, never mind.
I'm not going to say how old it was.
Yeah. Isn't it... It's a small world's birthday, too?
50. Mm-hmm.
50 years?
Yep.
Wow.
I know.
50 years. They still look like children. Yeah. And another big event, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad reopened.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
And pretty soon it's the 24 Hours of Disney.
Yeah. Hey, anybody, if anyone out there has ridden the new version of Big Thunder yet, how about doing a review for us? We'd love to hear it. Anybody? Bueller. Yeah, and if anybody's going to be... When is the 24-hour Disney thing?
I have to say that I'm not 100% positive.
I have to say it's exactly... I have no idea.
I think it's sometime in May. But I do have to be honest and say I really don't know.
Well, I know Randy Crane, our good friend and sponsor, Randy Crane from Mouse Ear Vacations. You want a good vacation, visit Randy. I bet you Randy would know.
I bet he would. And you know, today, speaking of Disney, like I said, I know that I should know, but today I got really, really sad because we took Kate to the groomer, and where we get her groomed is where we also board
her.
Well,
PetSmart, yeah.
And it's on the way to Disney.
Yep.
And we drop her off, and then we just jump on the 303 and head out to the 10. And today made me really sad because I want to go to Disney.
Yeah, I do too. I'm sorry. But anyway, anything else?
No.
No? Well, why don't we get on with the show?
All right.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we've got a special giveaway for you all. We have a copy of the Disney Hyperion children's book, Big Rig, by Jamie A. Swenson and illustrated by the very talented Ned Young. And it's autographed by the illustrator and donated by our good friend Dean Carrington. So, Joyce, what's the trivia question?
In the Pixar movie Cars, what is Lightning McQueen's transport truck's name?
Good question.
Send us an email with your best guess in the body, and in the subject line, put Big Rig Contest.
And don't forget to include your name. We'll plop all the correct answers into our official randomizer and announce the lucky person on our next episode. Hey, Joyce, what's the deadline?
How about Saturday, April 5th by midnight Pacific Standard Time? And that's April 5th, 2014.
Okay. So they don't have until 2016 to do this? Okay.
No.
All right. Well, good luck, everybody.
Yes, good luck.
Well, you guys are lucky because we're doing another freestyling episode. This time, we thought we'd do it just a little bit differently than last time. Instead of having, you know, a list of like 9 questions, I think we only have 3.
3 questions.
And we're going to kind of discuss them a little bit more. So hopefully you enjoy it. Joyce, you want to start us?
Yes.
Okay.
If you could turn your favorite Disney movie into an attraction at the Disneyland Resort, which would it be? How would you design it? And what land would it fit into and why?
Okay. Well, before we go any further, just remember, neither one of us know what we've answered. So Joyce doesn't know what I answered and I don't know what she answered. So that was kind of tough for me because I have a lot of favorite Disney movies, you know. But the one I think I would love to see in Disneyland as an attraction would be Tron Legacy. Yeah, and I'd like to see it over in Tomorrowland, of course. I mean, where else would you put it? Maybe in the Innoventions building, you know? Because as much as I like the Innoventions building and the things that they've done in there, I think that would be a great place to put the grid. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
And they could, you know, have different sections in there. They can section it off and have different game grids, you know, like the discs, the light cycles, and the old tank from the original Tron, the tank battle scenes and stuff like that. I think that lends itself to the perfect Disney attraction. It would be, there's so much that you could do with it. It could be very interactive. The light cycles, you know, they could do some sort of, I don't know. There's got to be a way to really create something to where it's not super dangerous, you know, like real light cycles, but a 3D kind of holodeck from Star Trek type thing. You know, maybe even do something like they did when they had oh my goodness, what was it? The Tron rave thing.
Yeah, the end of the line.
Yeah, no, I mean the whole thing. I can't even remember what it was called, and I loved it so much over in California Adventure. But anyway, something like that, you know. You can have a different, you can just take the whole movie of Tron Legacy and just kind of break it down and put it over there in Innoventions. I think that's the best place for it. Would it be a nice dark ride type thing? I just think it would be great.
But I think that they could make it, now it may not be for all ages, but I think that there's plenty of unused room where they could maybe make like a track similar to, you know, like a, for lack of better words, like a tongue and groove type of track, and then just have like the cycles, and then you would be strapped in.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess something like Rocket Rods or something like that. Rocket Rods.
Or they could use the People Mover track.
Yeah. Well, no, I think they tried that once before and it didn't work. That was before my time. I don't remember any of that. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You know, there's plenty of room in there. They can have something like that. They can have these light cycles that don't fall, you know, that are on like an Omnimover type thing, just faster.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, nobody gets hurt or injured or anything. And maybe race and compete against holographic competitors so that, you know, of course you're going to win. And when you do win, you know, the holographic game code would just blow up or something. What do you think?
Oh, I think that would be fun.
I think it's a great idea.
Yes.
And that, for you, Disney Imagineers, is a freebie. Go ahead and take it. Or what about you? If you could turn your favorite Disney movie into an attraction, what would it be, why, and where would you put it?
Well, like, with you, it was really hard to narrow it down, and I actually think I did my, because I didn't write anything out, I just, like, you know, did, like, bullets, but I think I did, like, 4 or 5 different movies, and it's like, no, because the more I started thinking about it, the more I thought, no, that really wouldn't work. So then I thought back to, what was my favorite movie as a child? And it was Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
I don't remember that movie.
Yeah. So it would be a dark ride. And then I was thinking, so for those of you that don't really know much about the movie, there was a character. So there were 3 children and they were in the Rollins family. And I think the one kid's name was Paul, but he took the bed knob off and somehow it became magical. I do have to admit, I don't remember the entire movie and I want to watch it again.
Was there a broomstick involved too?
Yeah. So he took the bed knob off and then somehow it became magical. And when he put it back on, they could travel wherever they wanted to go. So I think it would be good as a dark ride and just the headboard and then, you know, like part of the mattress could be the ride car. And it would tell the story of the Rawlings family, Miss Price, who was a witch, and the character Brown. And I think it would fit into Fantasyland.
So what kind of sights would you see? So it'd be sort of something like Peter Pan, Peter Pan's flight.
Yes.
And maybe Mr. Toad's Barfalicious ride.
And, you know, maybe even a... So I think in a way it could be like if you took the idea of Snow White and the Scary Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Snow White's Scary Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Pan. You know.
Pinocchio.
Yeah. All of those, and you put them into one. And then you kind of added a Mary Poppins theme because if I recall the movie correctly, it was like a little bit of Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I honestly don't think I've ever seen that movie. But
you need to watch it because it's been a long time since I've seen it. I think it came out, I was probably about 10 when it came out.
Yeah.
Maybe not that old because I think it came out in the early 70s. So maybe I was only 6.
Yeah.
But it's been a while since I've seen it, but I still think it would be a good ride.
Yeah, so like I see what you mean. So like a Peter Pan style thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Okay, so how about this one? This is my favorite question, I think. What ride or attraction do you hope will never become an extinct attraction, and why?
So I said King Arthur's Carousel.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And the reason that I said that is because, to me, that is what started Disneyland. Because Walt was inspired by the Griffith Park Carousel. He wanted a place where, you know, everyone could enjoy it. It's got so much history, so much nostalgia. And I think if that was ever removed from Disney,
the entire Disney fan community would go ballistic.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That is actually a very, very good. I didn't even think about that. That is Disneyland. That's that's an awesome, awesome selection, Joyce.
Thank you. Yep, but that's what I was thinking, and it actually made me kind of sad to be thinking about it.
Why? They're not going to... I really don't... That was Walt's... Walt loved that ride. So I seriously doubt they would ever remove that.
Yeah, I don't think that they would.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I said a lot of things. Because I'm like, I don't want them to take any rides out. I love all the rides at Disneyland and at California Adventure. But foremost in my mind right now is the Jungle Cruise. As corny as it is, I think it is the quintessential Disneyland attraction to me. It's just, I love the history of the Jungle Cruise because, you know, Walt had his fingers in it. And we heard a lot of stories about, you know, all the things that he did to bring that attraction to life. And how at first it was supposed to be a serious ride, you know, a serious trek through the... Through the jungles and through the rivers of America, that type of thing, and then it kind of morphed into this comedian's birthplace. I mean, all the people. I think Billy Crystal was a skipper. I know John Lasseter was a skipper. Who else? I mean, there were a lot of great people. I think who were Jungle Cruise skippers. And every time we ride that ride, every time we ride the Jungle Cruise, no matter if I'm aching from walking around too much or, you know, if I might be in a little bit of a bummer of a mood, that ride always lifts me up. And I love it. I mean, like I said, as corny as the jokes are, they make you laugh. They make you chuckle. And I think every time we ride it, I always film it because you never know. And I think there's a small part of me that thinks, you never know, this person that I'm filming, this skipper that I'm filming may actually, in a few years, be somebody super famous. And I could say, I rode on his or her cruise.
Or it could be 20 years later and you could have a tweet from John Lasseter saying, hey, if anyone has a picture of when I was a skipper, can you send it?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I still remember when we took Amanda, my daughter, Amanda, to Disneyland, and we rode the Jungle Cruise. She was trying to act cool because, you know, at the time she was a teenager, and she's trying to act all cool, you know, I'm this cool kid. And we called her out and had them embarrass her because it was her first time there.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I know.
Yes, I'm a bad dad.
No, you aren't.
No.
And then you also have to think back, you know, like you were saying, you know, like all the people that were skippers. Do you think that touched John Lasseter's life so much that he had decided that he wanted to go work for Pixar?
I think it may have. I definitely think if that didn't change the direction of his life, then it was because of the direction of his life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way I see it, only certain people are good at that ride, good skippers, and it shows. We've had a couple of skippers who you could tell were just, you know, they're just in it for the, you know, for the whatever the hourly rate they get, and they don't really care. But those people are very few and far between because I think they do a really good job of placing the cast members where they belong. But I think that John Lasseter has always been the way he is, and that's why he was attracted to want to be a skipper on the Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. I think. I just think that the Jungle Cruise is, I love the attraction. It might have something to do with, you know, it was one of the rides that we rode several times on my first visit to Disneyland. But, you hear that loud airplane? Oh, I love that. Yeah, anyway, live podcasting. Anyway, I love the Jungle Cruise. I really do. Yeah, well, anyway, now I'm sad.
I'm sorry.
I need to ride the Jungle Cruise.
You do.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So the next question, if you could spend one day at the Disneyland Resort with any Disney personality living, who would it be and why and what would you do?
So living, right? You know why the reason we said living, because everybody would pick Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
We both would have picked Walt Disney. I picked John Lasseter.
Oh.
Yeah, because... The couple of times that we've actually seen him in person at the park, he just seems to be a super fun person. And every story we've ever heard about John Lasseter always involves him being just so down to earth and so fun. And I would imagine that Mr. John Lasseter would be one of the perfect people to visit the Disneyland Resort with, because he's got to know so much about Disneyland, you know? The stories that he could tell us. And I'm sure that the first thing that I would want to do is have him take me to Cars Land. And then the Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
And then I'd want to go to his winery. I like John Lasseter. I think he's done so much for Disney in general over the years that he is definitely a legend. He's definitely one of the most integral people in Disneyland history, in Disney history. So I think it would be super awesome. Did I just say super awesome?
You said super awesome.
Oh my gosh. I think it would be awesome to go with John Lasseter and just hang out with him for the day. What about you? If you could spend one day at Disneyland with any Disney personality, of course living, who would it be and why? And what would you do?
Well, first I said Dave Smith, the archivist.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Who we interviewed, by the way, quite a few episodes back, if you want to listen to it.
And then I said Roy Patrick Disney.
Yeah.
Remember meeting him at the D23?
I do. Thing? Very nice guy.
Yes. And then I thought, it would be nice to meet those two and hang out at the park with them. But the person that I would absolutely love to spend a day at Disney would be Richard M. Sherman.
Oh, you know, I was going to say him, but I... like John Lasseter.
Yes. So I would just sit, chat with him, and I would be just perfectly content. But if given the opportunity, I would take him over to Coke Corner and ask Ragtime Robert if he could play a few keys on his piano.
Yeah, I kind of figured you'd say that, yeah.
And then I would be sure to write It's a Small World with him.
Oh, good. That's good. That's good. So, but what? Why? Why? Why would you pick him? Our air conditioner just kicked on. Remember, it's like 900 degrees here today. Why would you pick Richard Sherman?
Well, you know, after watching Saving Mr. Banks, and I know that it may not have been an accurate portrayal, but just watching the behind the scenes when he was talking and just how, you know, he was talking about Walt and just all the things that they did and all the conversations that they had and just how Walt touched his life so much, just to actually be able to sit and talk to someone that actually worked that close with Walt and just, like, getting to know, you know, just, like, listening to his side of what Walt Disney was really, really like. And he's just such a talented... songwriter, and to me, you know, from like the time I was a little kid, I mean, he wrote the songs for Bedknobs and Broomsticks, he did Mary Poppins, he did, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on about how he's always been immersed in that Disney culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and just to spend a day with him and just, you know,
the stories, yeah, the mm-hmm. stories that he would have. I'm sure that I've said this before, and Joyce, I know I've told you this before, but I really, really like Walt Disney. I mean, it's as weird as it sounds, and I don't know, maybe there are people out there who will agree with me or say, yeah, I know what you mean, but I feel like Walt Disney is Uncle Walt to us, you know? Mm-hmm. He's done so much. He's done so much for the world, and he's done so much for me. And that sounds kind of weird, but like we said many times, you know, in my origin story about Disneyland, when I first went to Disneyland, he helped me rediscover my youth, and he doesn't even know it. He wasn't there. So, yeah, to talk to somebody like Richard Sherman, not the football player, by the way, to talk to Richard Sherman and hear his personal stories of Walt Disney would just be amazing. So, yeah, I think that's a good choice. Good job.
Thank you. And did you know that he was born the same year as Mickey? He's actually older than Mickey. He was born on June 12th, 1928.
Oh, so he's just a few months older than Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he doesn't look it.
No.
Neither does Mickey.
No.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to add?
No.
This was fun. I like doing this, just chatting.
Me too.
Type thing. And apparently you guys like it. And we're glad to do this for you. And this is kind of the interaction that we've always wanted, you know, from you guys, to let us know what you like to hear. And if you want us to do more of this, please let us know and give us some suggestions and some, you know, topics that we can discuss. And I think it would be fun to have a few of you guys on the show with us. And do this like that with you guys. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And speaking of being on the show, do you want to tell them who's going to be joining us on the next podcast?
You go right ahead.
So we have a Disney friend who wrote the book Seen Unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And so his book is in, I believe it's in the second print now. And we thought, you know, for those of you that may have missed it during the first print, that we would invite him to come on the show and promote his book and just, you know, tell you about what inspired him and that sort of thing. So the bacon lover.
Russell Flores.
Yes, his name is Russell Flores. But yes.
Joyce was trying to be dramatic.
Yes.
And build up. We have a friend who wrote, but you gave it away when you said his book, Seen Unseen. By the way, it's an extremely popular Disney book. And Russell, we're so excited to have you on the show. We can't wait to interview you. But yeah, he'll be on our next live, well, it won't be live, but our next audio episode.
Let's see, this needs a married couple from Southern California. He's a Star Wars fan and he loves movies. She's a Disney fan and she loves great literature. We'll add some feedback from listeners all over the world and just a pinch of comedy. All right, I need to try it.
There. Uh-oh, it's missing something. Oh, it's missing you. You need to try it. If you're a fan of ABC's Once Upon a Time, then you will love the Once Upon a Time fan podcast at onceuponatimepodcast.com. My voice will stay like this until you listen. Maybe I could get a job in cartoons. Sounds like I'm part of the Lollipop Guild. Please listen. Hurry. Thank you.
Well, that's episode 89 wrapped up in yet another special and different kind of show. Really, it is. Trust me. Hey, if you have any interesting Disney stories, we want to hear about them. You can send those to us at talespodcast@cox.net.
And have you checked out our sponsor, Randy Crane from Mouse Ear Vacations? You really, really should, especially if you're thinking about taking a vacation. He's a great guy and loves Disney as much as we do. If you're looking for an honest travel agent who can get you the best deal on just about any vacation, be sure to give Randy a shout. You can find Randy at www.randyc-mouseearvacations.com. You should visit Randy's website often, or better yet, subscribe to his newsletter. He's got some amazing specials going on that include some great adventures.
And don't forget about the trivia contest. And don't forget to check out, subscribe to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/talespodcast. We post all kinds of fun videos there. You're not going to want to miss out.
And if you'd like to read, how about heading over to our blog site? You can find that at www.talespodcast.blogspot.com.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to all your favorite shows directly from your smart devices, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in your app stores. Stitcher, Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You can also catch the latest episodes of our favorite shows on Stitcher. Podcasts like Stories of the Magic, Take Him With You, Rusted Robot, and many more.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter for any cool updates or announcements. You can find us at Tales Podcast. And did you know that we have a Facebook fan page?
We do.
We sure do. Just go to Facebook and search for Tales from the Mouse House Podcast. And be sure to like us while you're there.
If you'd like to submit a view of a Disney movie or maybe even an attraction or restaurant, we want to hear about it.
And please, how about hopping over to iTunes and leave some feedback and ratings for the show? We really need your positive feedback and ratings. 5 stars would help push the show up. So if you like it, why not tell everyone so they can like it too? That would sure help the show be found easier. As always, if you'd like to send us a comment or just say,
"Hiya, pal,"
you can send us an email to talespodcast@cox.net. Leave us voicemail on the hotline at 304-TALES-23. Send us a tweet or message on Facebook, or just think happy thoughts our way.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Storyteller Audio Productions. All Disneyland music and related materials remain the property and copyright of the Disney Company.
Thanks for tuning in and welcoming us into your home.
And remember,
make it a Mickey day.
Ho ho!
We are the Rusted Robot Podcast. Lower your shields and surrender your minds. We will add your MP3 recordings and opinion on geekery to our own. We will adapt to embrace this culture. Resistance is futile.
It's the Borg.
Commander Adama, Cybermen, Daleks, and Cylons are fast approaching. Jump gates forming in multiple sectors, and the Doctor's nowhere to be found. What are we going to do?
Tune into the Rusted Robot Podcast at therustedrobot.podbean.com and on the iTunes Store. Sean and Bridget Vanderloo's love for all things geekery and robots are our only hope.
Oh, boy.
Get rusted today.
Robots.
Cyborgs.
Androids.
Oh, my.
Rusted Robot.
The radio station in Chester's Mill may have burned down, but you can still hear hits like,
"And they're still having fun. Chester's Mill's the one."
And
"Splish Splash the Egg was taking a bath deep below a methane-filled lake. Rub-a-dub, let's have Julia didn't flub, making this decision in haste."
All thanks to Under the Dome Radio. This summer, Troy and Wayne return to discuss what happened when we were
blinded by the light, wrapped up
death in the noose as the dome it turned to white, blinded by the light. Holding on to a lever as the dome it turned to white.
Be sure to set the dial of your podcasting app to Under the Dome Radio and keep the propane donations flowing at
underthedomeradio.com.
A proud member of the Noodle Mix Network.
Do you experience bouts of geekdom? If so, Anomaly may be right for you. In clinical studies, Anomaly's convention reports, cosplay topics, and commentary on Star Wars, Doctor Who, Star Trek, and other sci-fi fantasy genres provided a feeling of fullness while promoting optimal geekiness. Anomaly is available over-the-counter at Stitcher and in the iTunes, Zune, and BlackBerry stores. Learn more at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Anomaly, your prescription for geek entertainment.